The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Yes, that is that is the name of the podcast that this is.
We did it.
It is Podcast Beyond.
You did real good.
Episode 428. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, Marty Sleva.
Hi, Max.
Brian Altano.
Beyond.
Andrew Golden Farmer.
Hey, Mac.
Golden Farb.
Yep, that'll
Gold
work.
Farb.
That'll do.
Yep. Goldenrod.
Yep.
Sure. Goldine.
Or all of those things.
And special guest, Chloe Rad.
Hi, guys.
This is your first time on the show.
It is.
You did a real cool thing that I think we should just jump right into because people really want to hear about it. Yes. You reviewed The Witness.
I did. It was real scary to do all by myself. It's a now, really
how many
game.
You 70 hours, 80 hours?
By now, yeah, I've sunk in like 80 hours. I think to get to the end, it took me like about 50.
Oh
but
my god!
In like a week.
$40 is too much
all
for this
myself.
Game.
Okay, so now before we get down with The Witness, can we? I'm so sorry. I had to do that. I didn't mean.
No,
to
No, you didn't. You absolutely did not have to do that.
I really wanted to do that.
By no means did you.
I
have
really
to do
wanted
that.
To make the Disturbed joke about a Jonathan Blow game. So obviously, I mean, some people, if you've been tracking this, The Witness was announced at the PS4 like launch press conference. Is that right? It's been
at the reveal.
The reveal, right? Yeah.
When it was, I mean, it was. The game was first shown in 2009.
It was at like GDC or something.
It was at a PAX East.
It was
at a single PC.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it was sort of tacked onto the PS4.
Yeah, Sony. Yeah.
This is a significant game, and it's finally out, kind of in the wild. Chloe, what the hell is it?
It is an enigma. If we just want to get right into it, it's a puzzle adventure game. Okay. It's on a big island, Puzzle Island. It's just full of puzzles.
Is it literally called Puzzle Island?
Yeah, this game is Puzzle Island.
All right.
Created by John Puzzle Master Blow and a big team of really talented people. He actually had some architects and landscape engineers helping him build the actual island. But we'll get into that in a sec. You just solve these 2D maze puzzles that are on panels. It looks really easy at first, but it gets really hard. And being the only person in the office playing this game was very challenging.
Yeah, hear you. I felt bad you being in the corner of the room and just like your frustration and terror and anger and like, we couldn't do anything about it.
The full spectrum of emotions. I mean, I love this game. I gave it a 10. You know,
that's
but,
pretty good score.
It was a really cool experience having nobody to turn to for help in a way because like I almost have no sympathy for all the people I'm seeing crying on Twitter about like how do you solve this one? How do you solve this one? Because it's like
you have each other.
I have all the answers. Yeah, you guys can turn to anybody. I had nobody.
Yeah, you essentially played the game in a way that almost nobody will ever get to play it again.
Yeah, because when you get frustrated, you had to look at it. Like you couldn't look it up in a guide.
I just had to. I mean, have you guys seen the movie Prisoners where they go to the guy's house and he's got like just mazes all over the wall?
Yeah,
that's my house right now. Like, I just have mazes drawn on my desk in notebooks, like in MS Paint.
Wow.
That's what I had to do.
That's really
it's like
awesome.
Everyone in the office looks like it's a beautiful mind because like Mitch on his desk has like the most terrifying hieroglyphics of like weird like puzzle solutions.
Yeah, Mitch is using like is cool. Photoshop to create little building blocks.
Yeah, which I love because so few games like do that. Like Device 6
I mean, I grew
did
up playing
me,
games
Vi-
like that.
Fez
yeah.
did that for
Device
me.
Device 6, Fez. Yep.
I used to do that with Kid Icarus for the NES, there was an actual in every fourth level there was a like a sort of a temple type of thing, very Zelda 2-esque, which I think it came before Zelda 2. And there was an actual pencil and piece of paper you could buy in the game where you could mark your map, but I used to just draw them out myself. Mm. And there was a couple things, I think in Resident Evil I took notes, like for Resident Evil Zero I wrote some notes in the back of the, even like manuals used to have two or three pages in the back where it was like, put your notes here. But this is a digital only game, right? So you're not going to get a physical package with a notebook in it. But I think it's so cool that you're, I mean, as terrible as your apartment probably looks right now, that there's just like nightmare drawings everywhere on how to solve things.
Her neighbor said she was such a nice girl.
Yeah. I overheard that you had to open up Photoshop for one of the puzzles.
I use MS Paint because that's my thing. Paint. Mitch is the one using the fancy Photoshop.
Yeah, Mitch like adjusts the opacity so he'll like. And I guess we should just super back up for anyone who's never seen The Witness. It's a first person, like you're walking around an island. It's like very bright and colorful, and these puzzles are like very deceptively simple. Like they have they start with like a circle and you draw a line at their most simple, and then they get progressively more complicated and there's elements to them.
And there's a bunch of rules that get introduced and symbols that
and
represent
you're like
various
learning as you go. So Mitch is to the point in the game where certain factors come into how you can solve these puzzles, and he'll take a picture with his phone or he'll take a screenshot on his PC, put it into Photoshop, and then adjust the opacity to like lay different things over the puzzles and like draw solutions onto them basically.
Wow. That's absolutely bonkers.
It's intense. Yeah.
So I realize that like talking about a puzzle game doesn't really do it a whole lot of justice. It's one of those things you kind of let it get your hooks into you.
Yeah.
I heard you were seeing this in your sleep, like you were dreaming about it.
Yeah. Like I say this in my review, and I was not exaggerating. Like every time I close my eyes, I see mazes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what it was like for when I was like deep into this review.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the same kind of. There's actually a name for this, I think, for people who play a lot of Tetris. They see Tetris blocks every time they close their eyes. I was getting that for
it was like Tetrisitis or Tetris fever. Yeah, everybody had that back in the
90s. Seriously, had dreams about these line puzzles, nightmares maybe.
Wow.
I haven't had that in a game since Catherine. I remember I was playing those puzzles so much that like I would dream about them. I would walk through the city and like imagine like pulling blocks
like where
off.
It just it actually messes with the physical geometry space that you see in front of you.
Yeah.
I used to want to shoot out cameras because of GoldenEye.
Yeah.
All right.
I still want to do that.
But yeah, the thing that impresses me most about the puzzle, and I put like 25 hours or so into like an older build, and sort of as we were talking, I guess just to like full disclosure, when someone wants to give a game a 10, we sort of have a like a powwow about it.
Yeah, it's a big
and
process.
Yeah, it's sort of just a like to make sure like, hey, a 10's sort of like a really important score we give. So we want to make sure that we have like, you know, sort of almost purposely trying to poke holes in someone's review, and then if we can't, then it's like, well, you did it. You know, it's a 10, and you defended it. And so when we were talking about it over the weekend, sort of the way we were describing it is, yes, there is, like, you know, pretty much those line puzzles are the only mechanic in the game. Like, drawing, you know, from point A to point B is the only mechanic in the game, but we were describing it as, like, learning a language. And at the beginning, you learn a language, and you learn how to say yes and no, and the very simple things. And then throughout the course of this game, you start becoming more fluent in the language, and you start learning how to put sentences together and start using past and present and future tense. And you start like conjugating
there's
your
so
verbs.
Many factors to take into account when you approach a new puzzle. It actually got to the point where I would approach puzzles that merged like three or four different rules, and it was actually like I was reading, right? Like reading the grid, and it became really easy actually to solve those really complicated looking ones.
Yeah.
It was almost like, you know how you don't have to look at every individual letter in a word to know what the word says. You just look at it and you understand it. It gets to that point.
Yeah.
And I think that the game is really well designed.
Yeah.
It's so cool, like, walking by Mitch's desk when he first started, because I'm going to start it tonight. It came out today and I'll start tonight. But, like, watching Mitch in the early puzzles, I could stand behind him and, like, I would be like, oh, like, have you tried doing this? And, like, I could, like, actually be a helpful human. And then, like, as of, like, yesterday, after he had had, like, a couple of days with it, and he's, like, significantly later in the game, I was, like, I would stand behind him and watch him do stuff, and I would just, like, quietly to myself, I'm, like, I literally have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't help him if I wanted to.
I'm sitting in the background, like, cackling to myself.
Like, you're feeding off his pain.
So, like, my question is, like, this sounds like a fairly simple puzzle mechanic, but it's rooted in this fleshed-out real-life environment. Like, how do those two kind of interact without it just being kind of tacked on?
So, Marty, we don't want to spoil too much, right?
No, definitely don't want to spoil too much.
Say the
four-letter word we all want to say.
What's that?
Lost.
Lost, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I didn't know where that was going at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was like,
piss. The piss drop that Jonathan Blow
took.
Can we really quickly talk about the piss
drop? That's actually what I thought. Piss was the word that came to mind.
So just for context, Jonathan Blow, the creator of this game, posted a photo on Twitter of something that appears to be a urine-filled jar.
Yeah.
And he's been making the game for like 6 years or seven years. So it's like the joke, at least like for how I understood it, having not played the game, I see that tweet and I take it as like, I've been working on it so long and I'm peeing in jars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I saw people getting mad at that, that's what I thought people's assumption, you know, that's what I thought they were thinking was that crunch time is really rough and that he was peeing in jars or something.
Were people mad or were they worried?
They're just grossed out,
both.
I think.
Yeah.
I guess, well, so first I want to say John Blow is the creative lead on this game, but he wasn't the only person who worked on it.
Sure.
Right? I do want to acknowledge for everybody listening
pretty much no game now is just one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah. But he is the one that people associate.
Except for Axiom Verge.
With this game.
That's true.
But yeah, so for the people like me and a couple other reviewers who had gotten to the point in the game where I don't want to say too much.
But the
piss jar is a thing.
Okay.
So it's a hot collectible. You collect all 10 piss jars and you get a cheese.
It's like the stars in Braid, but they're piss jars.
So there is, it's actually a piss jar though.
So I don't want to.
Is it pee?
I will not. I guess I don't know what to do.
It's just weird. You've got this.
You will
like,
not
this
confirm nor deny if it's pee.
This beautiful, like, just artistic, smart, intellectual, cerebral puzzle game, but there's piss jars.
Well, I mean, I think we could just say, like, I would just leave it at. Because I got too curious and had Chloe explain to me, but I would just basically leave it at like, if you've played the game completely, like totally to completion, mm-hmm. it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. When I saw that tweet, I was like, I knew what that was. I knew what that was a reference to.
That's super interesting.
Oh, Jimmy Piss Jar. That's your protagonist.
Me and a couple of the reviewers were talking and laughing about everybody having a crisis over it on Twitter.
Yeah, that's really funny.
All I'll say is it's weird. It's not weird in the way people think it's weird. It's weirder in a way, but...
Oh, wow.
Nah, dude, pissing in a jar is pretty weird.
So it's a real pistery. It's a piss mystery.
Okay, all right, I'm out.
Okay, but anyway, kind of going back to...
the island?
The idea of the island, yeah. Like, it is very Lost-like in that, like, there's more to it than it seems, right?
Yeah,
like, you're not just on an island.
We say Lost not just because it's a mysterious island, but... sort of like the Dharma Initiative, right? In Lost, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
So you see like this kind of logo. Like I was wandering around and I found like a beach chair with a beach towel, and this like little company logo on it. You see it on like random couches and a couple other things, and it's like so there's like this presence on the island, this like corporate presence. Obviously, there's a lot of like research facilities and like bunkers, greenhouses.
I mean, everything
like
kind of seems like an experiment.
Yeah. Right. And so you get the sense that something was happening on this island and maybe the mystery of the island is figuring that out.
Yeah.
And in a really loose sense, watching Mitch, it almost seems like the feeling of like a portal test chamber thing. Like it's not, but it's like that rough idea of like
there's something
pattern
off
to this.
There's something
right.
off about the island. I don't want to say too much, but like, there's obviously something under the surface, and that's something you start to notice as you play.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. Is there obviously like you know the puzzles do stuff? They unlock like new areas. Is it kind of like I know
so
it's kind of open, right?
Everything in the island is completely open. You can go to I guess without spoiling too much, the mountain is kind of the central point on the island. It's the not physically like the middle, but it is the most prominent landmark. It's the tallest point on the island.
I mean, that's sort of it's not really a spoiler to say like the objective of the game is to solve a ton of puzzles, and every time you solve certain things, a beam of light will shoot to the mountain.
Yeah.
And you have to do all seven.
Yeah.
There's like seven beams of light that you need to get to the top of the mountain, and then it unlocks.
Well, you can go to the top of the mountain at the very beginning if you want, right? But
there's
but you don't know what you're doing until you start solving puzzles and stuff.
So it sounds a lot like Myst, like the kind of this slow...
Yeah, I mean, Myst is the obvious comparison. Yeah.
So there's no enemies, there's no bosses, there's no conflict per se.
I mean, there's inner conflict.
You gotta pee in that
huge
jar.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to say I respect how carefully you're sort of tiptoeing around spoilers.
Yeah.
Because this game
you're not
has
like
been
Jared.
Out for,
Jared comes here and just spoils
the sense of discovery is such a big part of this game.
So did you like because there's also like there's like diary entry or audio logs. There's like did you like and then there's environmental storytelling. Like did you like the story without even going into it? Like,
yeah. So actually, I do want to talk about this. I think for people who are looking for concrete answers about the island, might walk away a little disappointed. Some of the more direct story bits are super locked away. Like you have to sink 100 hours into this game if you want those kinds of answers. Because for the majority of the game, the only audio logs you find are quotes from like Albert Einstein, B.F. Skinner, famous astronauts, stuff like that. And they're mostly there to like inspire self-reflection in a way. Like the island is a lot in its visual design and also just the way the game is designed in general to make you feel super alone and isolated. Like Marty, you said earlier today, there's these statues that you see around the island, and they're kind of, they seem to be from all eras, you know?
Yeah, like there's a guy drunk about to hit his wife, and then there's other, like, knights and stuff, and they're, like, frozen in time. Like, you
it's hear like
the
a stories, Pompeii thing.
Yeah, hearing the stories of, like, Pompeii, like, that everyone was, like, frozen in ash.
Yeah,
to, like,
and it's almost like you're frozen in time, but like out of time. You know what I mean? Like in another.
Like the island's an anachronism. It's like a bunch of, it's all of these like sort of like different biodomes that shouldn't coexist next to each other. There's like a desert next to a forest, next to a lake, next to.
And it's like if you're afraid to be alone with your own thoughts, this might not be the game for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's no like music. It's so interesting. Like I love everything I've seen this game. Like every time I've sat down just at Mitch's desk and seen anything from it, I love it. I'm so excited to dive into it tonight because this is just, I don't know, this is like the way puzzle platformers with a twist are kind of your jam. Or this feels like a super goldfish game.
Do you think I'll mess this game up by putting in my own music? Like because I do that thing on like
Disturbed,
I'll put on Spotify. I did this for a lot of The Witcher where I was like, I turned the music off, but I put on like bossa nova and like Cuban jazz, and it's just like it kind of ruins some scenes, but I feel like The Witness if there's no music to begin with, and I'm just like play some funky tropical island mystery music.
If you want to play it the way that the creators intended, I wouldn't do that, but if you get, I mean, I was watching Rick and Morty while playing for a lot of this. Yeah.
That's what the creators intended.
Were you about to say don't tell Jonathan Blow? Yeah. Don't tell Jonathan Blow. Okay, back in 10, you can watch whatever shows you want.
Mm-hmm.
Watch
I mean, that ER. Was when I was like really stuck, you know, I had a second monitor open and I was just like, I need something to maintain my sanity right now.
So this is one of the other things I kind of want to talk about. I know it's like comparing apples to oranges, but we're 2.5 years into the PS4's lifespan. Where do you think this ranks in terms of like, you know, PS4 exclusives? Like, do you think this is the best? Is this your favorite?
I mean, I didn't even own a PS4 until last year.
Yeah, but you play Bradburn.
Bradburn. Yeah. Bloodborne's probably my favorite. Total PS4 exclusive because this is also on the PC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I played it both on the PC and the PS4 for review purposes and stuff. But I think it's definitely one of the best PS4 console exclusives.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm glad. I hope this finally. All the people who were mad at the $40 thing. I hope this. Sort of,
it's a video game.
This game is so long.
Yeah,
I mean, not that should.
No,
you know,
length should not
I think
equate.
Creators should charge whatever they, you know.
And it's up to you. If you want to pay for it.
Yeah. That's a great segue right there. Because speaking of creators charging what they want for things,
you did it.
We got some hot tips on the Battlefront Season Pass, the DLC.
Oh boy,
this is a game that's going to be getting some content through 2017. We have like a, we did, Brian and I, we did a big video about the six things or whatever you can expect, but short answer, there's basically every 3 months they're going to be putting out like a new package for paid stuff as well as a bunch of free DLC stuff. Are we happy with this? Is this cool?
This is basically like what they did with Battlefront or Battlefield. Rather.
Yeah. That's kind of like their business model now. Yeah.
So and Battlefield got, like Battlefield 3 had support for so long.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4 Battlefield 4 still had things coming out recently.
Yeah. Yeah. At E3, I think. Or no, at Gamescom, they announced a Battlefield 4 DLC. Yeah, which
yeah,
is,
I feel like there was
after Hardline.
There was sort of like a long series of disappointments with the general populace about this game. First, the pricing structure. Second, the fact that it had less modes than the previous Battlefronts. And third, when they kind of slipped, it was like 2 days before Christmas, where they're like, hey, we're not doing any Force Awakens stuff. Focusing just on the original trilogy. I want all that bad news out of the way because I actually love what's there and I'm really excited about what's coming. So they're going to keep mining original trilogy stuff. They're doing, in the first pack, they're doing Outer Rim, which is basically like new areas in Sullus. They're doing Jabba's Palace. They're doing a bunch of other stuff. After that, they're doing Bespin, so Cloud City. And then after that, they're doing Death Star. And then something fourth quarter, which Max and I think is going to be Rogue One stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think that's why they don't want to say it because they went into so much detail with the rest of this stuff. It's like, why tease a 2017 thing without saying what it is unless it's Rogue One?
I almost wish that they hadn't really revealed this all at once. I wish that they'd broken down the kind of the idea of how much content you were going to get at the kind of with the season pass because it sort of sucks to take that leap of faith and be like, hey, here's $50. What are you getting for it? You know, but to jump on it, like I think it'd be cool if they were like, hey, in March you're going to get Outer Rim stuff. Keep posted to find out what comes after that. But I do like that kind of little carrot in front of the horse. Like, yeah, I will keep jumping back in this game for the next year.
It's hard to sell a season pass when you don't. I mean, it isn't for us because we bought it without knowing anything, but it's hard to sell a season pass.
We're simpletons.
Yeah, unless you lay out
a couple of real dinguses.
But anyway, that video is up on IGN now, or should be by the time this podcast goes up.
Did I announce heroes? New heroes?
No, they announced skins for their heroes. I think they're
like Hoth outfits. And
Hoth
stuff.
Outfits. Yeah. I'm hoping they give Leia something that like makes sense on Tatooine because she's in like winter gear on that, and it's like a sand planet.
It's a real hot sweat on.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't know. Give her like a T-shirt or something like that. You know. Whatever, get
desert,
one of
just,
those.
Just
one
like
those
palette swap the Endor thing so you have sand, desert camo.
Sand yeah. cloaks that yeah. they wear.
Exactly.
Like a yeah. poncho? I'm wearing a sand cloak right now.
So go check that stuff. Go check that video out, Max and I did.
All right, other news. This is one of those things, Goldfarb, you got to give us some insight because we didn't read the whole entire press release. Basically, Sony did one of those big business things that we pretend to understand where they said that they're pretty much merging Sony Computer Entertainment and Sony Computer Network Online Internet Entertainment or whatever?
Yeah, so SNEI, which is Sony Network Entertainment International, essentially merged with Sony Computer Entertainment, or they will as of April 1st. So it's essentially just putting all of the PlayStation operations, so network stuff and like content development, hardware, software, everything, sort of essentially under one, at least corporate roof. Even
and that's
not all
be
the
here
same
in the Bay Area, and not in Japan.
Exactly. So it'll be based out of San Mateo, which is a big campus in the Bay Area where Sony has all their stuff here. And yeah, it's. I mean, there's still operations out of Tokyo and London. It's still. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really affecting them in terms of like physical presence all that much. But there are some interesting bits to it. Kurt from Naughty Dog on Twitter pointed out the fact that every first party Sony game like starts with that black screen of Sony Computer Entertainment Presents, and we won't see that anymore. Like, I mean, that will now say Sony Interactive Entertainment.
So that'll be presents. Uncharted 4 should be the first game that does that, probably?
I would assume, yeah, because this happens as of April 1st. So yeah. That'll be the first. And it's just that really interesting.
That's why I got delayed. They got to make that new title.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a really, it's very corporate. It's very inside baseball. I really don't think it really affects people that much, but it's just a really interesting rebalance of what Sony is. And Sean Layden, who was the SCEA president.
You probably see. He's on stage at most press conferences.
Yeah, he wore that cool Vib Ribbon shirt at E3. He wore that Crash shirt at...
Stop talking about what he was wearing.
He wears cool shirts at press. I'm identifying who he is.
Horrible misleading shirts.
Yes,
get
exactly.
Us excited about new Crash Bandicoots, but there aren't any.
So he is now... They released this new org chart, and Andrew House is sort of overseeing everything, but Sean Layden is overseeing Worldwide Studios, which immediately brought... Like everyone asking, what
can we start
that mean
calling
for
Andrew House PlayStation House, like PlayStation Home? Like, but
yeah,
PlayStation
I like
house.
That a lot. He would probably like that.
Turn this PlayStation House into a PlayStation.
I called him Andy House on a podcast instead of Andrew House once, and I got an angry email series of tweets from somebody that was like, "How dare you not show him the respect of using his full name?"
What about you, Goldfarb? You're more of like an Andrew Studio Apartment.
I called you like five different variations.
One
of
bedroom
your last
apartment.
I'm not talking, anyway, about, I'm not talking about where you live. I'm talking about that you're small.
Oh. I'll take it. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a really cool thing from our side as kind of people who analyze the business. And I don't think we understand a lot of it yet. I think we'll kind of see more details come out of it in the future about what it actually means. But
I mean, do you think like a lot of times you see sort of reorgs and shifts like this when stuff isn't going well? Whereas
I
right
think
now
this is
it's
the opposite.
Just, mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, think, PS4 is doing just fine.
Like, and I think that's kind of the idea is that because PS4 has seen so much success, and because so Shuhei said on Twitter, this does include VR, obviously, which is part of PlayStation's hardware operations. I think they're kind of just doing some house cleaning before they kind of enter this major Andrew house cleaning before they enter this
it's a good joke
this major new initiative, and I think it makes a lot of sense for them to sort of get everything under one corporate structure so that as their PSN changes, as PlayStation VR kind of puts them into this new consumer space, that they can just keep things simple and well organized.
I think someone pointed out that we still can't change our PSN names, but they can change the entire company's name.
That was Wario64 on Twitter. It was
but
a
I love
joke.
Someone made that joke last night, like 5 minutes after they announced it, and Shuhei retweeted it, which I thought was really funny that he's sort of acknowledging that.
Oh, he's great. He's self aware.
He's wonderful.
They started this new company to try and actually figure out how to change usernames, and that's why Uncharted got delayed too.
Yeah.
You got to change all the characters' names.
One, I started saying, but one last thing I will note in breaking Shuhei Yoshida news is that. So Sean Layden is now overseeing Worldwide Studios. Shuhei's title is obviously president of Worldwide Studios. He tweeted that he will now report to Sean Layden, but he's maintaining his title as president of Worldwide Studios. What I would imagine that means, total speculation, is that Shuhei is more on the creative side in terms of helping kind of shepherd things with the studios themselves, kind of making creative decisions. Whereas I would imagine Sean Layden is more kind of on the corporate side as far as, like, what does this mean for release schedules? What does this mean for timing of things, for mergers, for all kinds of things?
I thought it was going to be like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, every other weekend kind of thing.
It could be,
It'll be like when the owner of the park flies a helicopter in Jurassic World.
But
he's like, I can still do this, and then he crashes into the pterodactyl tank.
But yeah, like I said,
why are we still talking about this? Just to end it, it is kind of rampant
speculation on our part. Like we're going to find out more about this, I think.
And also, the one thing I always like to point out is that like we focus on the PlayStation side of stuff, but Sony is still a much larger company.
Oh yeah,
And sometimes you know PlayStation will be kicking ass left and right, but Sony will have to close three TV factories or whatever because they're...
Well, I think that's what this is. This is basically taking their entire interactive side and putting it under one corporate part of the company that they can now point to as, this is doing really well. Yeah. And I think it makes a lot of sense to combine network with kind of hardware-software stuff because it's basically saying, like, this all is working on the same machine, basically. This is all part of the same ecosystem. Like, I mean, regardless of Vita's performance, regardless of stuff like PSTV, PSP, like smart TVs, like all these weird Sony things, whether they're successful or not, are sort of part of this thing that they're trying to combine. Stuff like PlayStation Now works across a million Sony devices. Like, they are really good at kind of cultivating that ecosystem. I think it makes sense to have it all be part of the same company within Sony.
Cool.
And just sort of piggybacking off that, we found out today that there's another... There's like a Sony VR conference thing happening in Japan in like a day or two.
Weird.
Yeah, there's some, we don't know what that is yet. It might even just be a public event or something. But yeah, there's on the events tab in PS4 in Japanese, there's like a series of events. We're figuring out what that is.
All right, cool. Last week we talked a whole lot about a game that we could have been completely making up called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Menace to Manhattan. It's about a bunch of turtle boys jumping out of a sewer with full bathroom stuff down there. That's actually a real game. Platinum finally announced it officially, leaked it for real.
Thank God after 30 minutes of speculation last week.
We could have just been, well, you I mean, would have
we, di- we literally talked about it for 30 minutes.
You know, we do, not we do only did they leak it for real, but their official launch trailer this morning was called The Official Leak, and it leaked yesterday early.
That's pretty funny.
So even their official leak leaked.
Yeah. Brian and Mitch did a Rewind Theater of that if you want to check that out. Or you could just go back to last week's episode, listen to what might be in it. We don't know. Who knows?
But it's coming this summer. It's from the director of The Legend of Korra, which wasn't real good.
It's very gorgeous. It's got Bebop and Rocksteady with big, huge weapons such as a mallet and a chainsaw.
Yeah, cool. It's coming to all platforms. It looks real pretty. We're not sure how multiplayer works yet.
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga. And that cool, remember that shark I brought up last week?
Yeah.
He's in the trailer.
Armagon.
Yeah. Is his name Armagon?
Armagon. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I called him Armageddon and you guys yelled at me.
I don't like that name. I could call
Chloe, do you like the Ninja Turtles?
I have nothing to say.
That's all right.
Isn't it Platinum Games?
It is Platinum, but it's Platinum's sort of B team. Like,
Ninja Turtles is about a rat that lives in a toilet and he has his friends that are in a cult and he uses them to fight bad trash beasts all over town.
His friends, they're his sons.
And then a girl films it for TV. I saw the trailer earlier. I don't like their eyes, how they have like pupils.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
it's really weird.
Remember the movies they had like really creepy human lips? I'm sick of them.
Oh, in the Michael Bay one?
I'm sick of them making the turtles look like human.
I just don't like when Donatello has a trench coat on.
They look spooky. I don't like them.
Yeah. I like when they put on like they had that Donatello figure where he was wearing a trench coat and he's supposed to be a spy, but he had this clip-on like Groucho mask where he's got like a big nose and a mustache, but his face is all wide, like he's got no neck. He just looked like if Super Mario was on the run and hide out.
Scary.
Yeah, real.
Everyone's
upsetting.
Like, "Wow, who's that guy? I've never seen that man before."
Yeah,
what a strange looking man.
A normal guy.
That 9 foot tall, disgusting amphibian that smells horrible.
Awful, awful ninjas.
next, you skipped the Cole Brown story I wanted to talk about.
Did I skip that? All right. Well, so Ninja Turtles, real stupid, real bad idea for a video game. It's not a bunch of dumb.
We're all excited about it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun.
Chloe, video games doesn't like ninjas.
Video games are terrible and they're stupid.
You're a turd. Why don't you go punch your toilet?
I'm gonna later, but first I'm gonna punch my toilet with a golf ball. If you know what I mean. That's what I'm gonna do in a video game called Dangerous Golf.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this. This is a bunch of devs who worked on Burnout.
Yeah, Criterion.
They're making a golf game that's basically like, hey, guess what's cool about golf? Nothing. Golf. This is a game about blowing it up. I found myself really enjoying golf games. Like, I don't like golf at all, but I like the process of, you know, whacking a ball around and trying to.
And mark. This is sort of like Crash Mode from Burnout, just yeah. with golf balls.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I really cool. like how many of the environments in this game are going to be indoors.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You you're playing like kitchens inside. And stuff. Yeah.
Side yeah, so note: this is have any of you guys ever done miniature golf? And there's always invariably that one part that's indoors. And it's just so much fun because you get to put the ball on the floor and hit it as hard as possible, and it bounces yeah, it just, off yeah. the walls for yeah. like 45 minutes, and then it gets stuck in the ceiling, and you have to go back to the teenager that works at the front desk, and you go, can I get a new ball? And he's like, we don't have any more. And you're like, can I please get a new ball? And he's like, all right. And he gives you a pink one. And you're like, I don't want a pink one. I want a blue one. And he's like, you lost the blue one in the cool haunted house yeah. back there. And then you're really like, screwing up the operation there. And then, you're and then like, he quits and goes to jail for drugs, and then you're like, I'm never playing miniature golf again because you grow up. I really like miniature golf, too. It is a good sport. So,
Brian Altano, grade 5.
That's a good story. A good friend of mine worked at the Family Fun Center in Sonoma, and they had a miniature golf course, and he was going to quit. He was tired of working at that job, and so before he quit, he decided that he was going to massively abuse his power of having keys to that place. So he let in a bunch of my friends, and they all just got real drunk and played miniature golf throughout the night. And he stole a bunch of tokens. So whenever you'd get in his car, there'd just be a bunch of tokens on the ground. You'd be like, what did you do? And he's like, well, I robbed my old work.
Tokens are arcade dollars that only could be used to buy
basically only 90s kids will remember
clown
tokens.
Stuff.
One thing I find funny about Dangerous Golf is that EA very recently in the most recent PGA Tour game had like this weird mode where it's like fantasy maps yeah. for golf where it's like you play on a battleship.
But
and
they didn't
like,
get it. They yeah, missed the point.
And it's just, like it's a really that was like almost yeah exactly that felt like a half measure whereas yeah. this is just like full on like we're making a weird ass golf game.
And like Hot Shots Golf has always sort of touched on this in that it's like mm-hmm. it's cartoon golf but it's not like. The rules are still there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can... it's like that... was it that, like, NFL Blitz that they made? Like, the Xbox Live version, whatever, where that was like, yeah, it's NFL Blitz with all the stuff you love. And I was like, what about, like, doing all this the stuff where you tackle people for no reason? And they're like, no, we took that out because it's unsafe.
Well, and that's what I like about this. Like, so I don't really like racing games that much. Like, I will very rarely play, like, a Gran Turismo or a, you know, like, a simulation game.
Yeah.
But I like arcade racers. Like, I tend to like Need for Speed. And this is sort of the equivalent of that, yeah. right? Like, it's not I mean, a golf sim. It's like this weird-ass arcade version of golf.
In Three Fields Entertainment's press release, Three Fields is the new studio, they say it's as serious a golf game as Burnout was a serious simulation driving game, which I think is amazing.
That sounds awesome.
All of this is very nice.
Yeah.
Why aren't they making a new Burnout?
Why EA isn't? I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know, because Criterion's working on their weird extreme sports game that they showed yeah. that dev diary of a couple years ago.
That dev yeah. diary was just like... So it's like, what do you guys been working on there? Well, so we got some GoPros at the office, and we've been watching a lot of YouTube videos of yeah. extreme sports. Like, yeah. so what are you working on? They're like, I mean, you know, like there's a lot of great videos on YouTube of people doing stunts and such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that just felt like they showed it way too early. That yeah. was like that weird classic example of like, just don't announce till you're ready.
Yeah,
it's also such a bummer because Criterion, like, Burnout, like 3, Revenge, yeah. Takedown. I wasn't a big fan of Paradise, but a lot of people loved it. And then like even like Black was really interesting, that yep. PS2 shooter. And now it's just like, ugh, just let them work on something cool.
Give them a yep. pod racing game. That's what I want to see.
Yes, but yeah, it's coming out May. It's gonna be downloadable PS4, Xbox One, PC.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I like that you can shoot a golf ball that's on fire at a toilet and it blows up.
Is that true? Is that true fact?
There's a screenshot of a bunch of urinals getting messed up real yeah. bad.
We talked about toilets a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
We
do that.
Yeah, and piss.
And piss trucks.
And piss trucks, wow.
Yeah.
Which are kind of like toilets if you're sick in the head.
Yeah, Howard Hughes did it, and he invented the airship.
Guys, if you play
him, he's a movie star now.
Yeah.
If you play Dangerous Golf until the end, the urinals make sense.
Oh, really? They explain that canonically in that game?
Yeah.
Great
all
job,
right.
guys.
We got a cool email. Am I going to read this email?
God, really all you keep doing is skipping things, Max.
Oh, I keep. Yeah, I keep reading.
Also, I feel
poorly.
I feel left out that you only wrote Marty.
Have you played?
I watched you guys all
right.
play this.
Okay, all right. Hey. Am I going to separate you? Am I going to separate you too?
There's too many
We've
people
got company.
At the table. You can't separate.
Hi, Chloe. How are you?
Hi. I want to hear about this game that Marty's been playing that I played one time in a Target on a PSP that I thought of. When the PSP first came out, and I was like, maybe I'll buy this. And then I played this game, and I was like, and then I didn't buy it.
This yeah. game is, of course, Gravity Rush Remastered.
Yeah, so
it's coming out
next week.
Next week.
It's coming out next week, but the embargo's up. My review, or update review. I'm just updating Greg's old review because I pretty much agree with what he said. Mm-hmm. And so this game is actually a ton of fun to play now.
Really pretty.
Yeah,
it
I played
controls
it on
better.
Vita. The art style was incredible back then and remains incredible. Mm-hmm. The game's super gorgeous.
Can you explain what it is?
So it's a
cat girl like flipping around.
Your cat girl flipping around. Yeah, it's a
well, you're a girl named Cat.
Yeah, who has a cat? Oh. And she's kind of a
who
cat
also
girl.
Has a cat.
No, but
she's a human.
She gets powers from a magical cat.
It's yep. She's a victim of cat magic.
Oh, God.
like okay. Selena Kyle.
Is that what lets her flip around?
That's what kind of lets her flip around. I don't know. I
you know, really it lets her manipulate gravity.
What is the lore of Gravity Rush, Marty?
A real deep lore dump. Yeah, so it's an open world action adventure game where the main crux of it is that you have the ability to muck up gravity, mm-hmm. and so you can sort of float in the air and just float there, and then you can jet off into the distance and walk up a wall. So you can sort of choose whatever you want your x-axis to be,
right?
Whether it's the side of a wall or whether it's the top of a ceiling, and so it's all about sort of how you're getting around the environment, and the combat's decent. It's kind of dumb.
Like, have they tightened it up at all?
It's decent, but kind of.
It's decent as in it's not bad, but it's not like it's not a platinum game in terms of like
you can. You can upgrade certain things, so it's like as you go, you are able to unlock certain abilities or like enhance certain abilities that make combat either easier or give you new moves, or there's like all kinds of like,
yeah.
So it is like a traditional open world game in that you can take side quests and like you can, you know, basically make Kat stronger. There are lots of like mini games too. I don't know. I really liked the progression in that game, and I liked that it got more complicated.
I like the progression a lot. My one thing I don't like is the side quests get real boring real fast, and they're all fetch questy, and a lot of them are timing based, and they don't really tell you exactly what to do or exactly where to go.
That.
And while playing it, I lost a couple by like I was like. It was 5 seconds away, and I couldn't get to the place where I needed to go, and I had to restart the entire thing. I'm like, this is just super frustrating.
Yeah. Especially, there's like, the minigames later aren't even about the traversal. There's like races, essentially, mm-hmm. where you're like basically snowboarding. And it's, I mean, that it's not a perfect game by any means, but I really, really like the Vita version, and I just started Remastered, and it is so much better in every way. Like, I thought.
I just completely. The first thing to do, go into the options, completely turn off motion control. None of that six axis
that's
garbage.
That's what I was going to
completely turn it off and just use the analog stick.
The original Vita version obviously was kind of showcasing a lot of the accelerometer physics and stuff, which kind of effed it up. So it's cool that you can just play it with a controller like a normal game.
Totally do that.
It helps a lot.
Also, this gets me super excited for the sequel.
This was a Vita launch title?
This was a Vita launch title.
I totally said PSP.
Oh, that was fine.
It was shortly, it was after launch. It was, I don't think it was like part of the actual launch day lineup.
Really?
Yeah. It was after.
Oh, weird. That's pretty cool. It's coming out February 2nd. If you haven't checked it out, it's probably worth it. If you played on Vita, I don't know if it's worth playing again, especially when there's so many games.
I thought I was going to say that, and now revisiting it, I'm like, I kind of want to play through this. I think I liked it more than I remembered.
Just play The Witness.
That's actually true. I'm probably just going to play
it. Yeah, get up. Come on, get down with The Witness.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. the other major release of this week that I played a bunch, and Andrew, by proxy, played a bunch because he watched, is Lego Marvel Avengers. Zach and you did a real good job. You couldn't beat that level. Milana, I had to. We played a lot of Lego Avengers this
week. Okay,
We played like 12 hours of this game this weekend.
Yeah. Milana's reviewing it. Her review might be up by the time this goes up.
Yeah.
But the game's, I'm sort of disappointed by the game. I think it's the one of the weaker core LEGO games in a long time.
Well, but the interesting thing about it is that the open world mechanical part of it is probably the best they've ever done.
Yeah.
But the story, like the main, like story missions,
going through the two Avengers movies
is so nonsensical.
Yeah, it's like, nonsensical. It's incomprehensible. Bizarre. It pulls certain actors, they were able to get, like, pull the exact lines of dialogue from the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, it's the sound mixing's really weird. So like you'll hear Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans say something, but it's a line from the movie, and they like isolated the dialogue and removed it from like all the background noise. And so like
Marty said, it sounds like someone basically held a microphone up to like a speaker. Like that's what it sounds like.
It's
and like
so like weird and disorienting. And also they couldn't get certain actors, so like Gwyneth Paltrow is not in the game, so it's just someone doing a Gwyneth Paltrow impression.
And it reminds so like they did this for The Hobbit. Like if The Hobbit does this, and this is. Like, I hated it in that game, and this is maybe even worse. Yeah.
So, like, Goldfarb and I noticed this when we previewed this at New York Comic Con, and I thought it was, like, very jarring, especially because, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the LEGO games, and I think one of the things I like the most is how they took classic scenes from films I love, like Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and replaced them with these, like, kind of goofy slapstick, like, pantomime.
I miss the pantomime.
The pantomime is really good.
I think it works really well.
The problem with this is it's a half measure, because LEGO Dimensions is fully written. It has a campaign that they wrote. So there's dialogue, and it's cohesive, and there's a narrative to it, and you're playing through a story for better or worse. Whereas, and then the other games pantomimed because they obviously didn't want to hire voice actors and write stuff, so they basically like made it sort of a play action telling of those stories. Whereas this game is this weird in between where rather than write something bespoke for this game, they try to shoehorn most but not all of the movie plot. They tried to shoehorn most but not all of the movie plot, and it's so
Well, it doesn't make sense, because it's like Robert Downey Jr.'s line reads from those movies made sense for those movies, because they were like serious moments, and like the tone was sharp and smart, and sort of like there was impending doom everywhere. And in this game, there's like a cartoon pig running around, you know, and somebody's holding a baguette.
And when you die, it doesn't matter because you just respawn.
Yeah, you just respawn.
You lose your 5 bolts.
So I would have rather they either just gutted all the voice acting entirely and did pantomiming, or just did it all over the top.
Mm-hmm. The way you guys are describing this, I'm imagining like a Newgrounds soundboard for like the Avengers.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
to, like, prank phone call, like just.
You're not that far off.
That's
honestly
kind of it, honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
But like Andrew mentioned, the open world stuff in the game like is incredibly ambitious and does this thing which I found so interesting, is that if you're playing two players, it's split screen, you have all of Manhattan, you can jet up to the shield helicarrier, whatever. But it's cool because so we just separated. Like Alana was doing one thing, I was doing another thing, and I could start a side quest, and she could go and start another side quest in split screen co-op.
Oh wow!
And so it's one of those like if two people are playing this game, like it's so cool to be like, oh, I found Moon Knight, and I'm doing his side quest to unlock him. And Alana's like, well, I'm just doing this race, and we're doing it at the exact same time on the same TV.
Now they gave options for the split screen for the first time in a while. Right?
Dynamic versus. Or fixed vertical.
Yeah, we ended up playing fixed most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Fixed is exactly the reason, or the lack of fixed is the reason I haven't played those games in co-op in a while, because I've tried and it's just super disorienting.
In some of them, it works.
That clock that kind of like that hand that moves around.
The camera can make it super disorienting. Mm-hmm. It was almost like, especially watching you guys play versus playing, at least you have the capacity to control your character and like the agency to be like, oh, the cameras were going to move to the left, but like watching it is the most disorienting thing in the world when you have no control over it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that the Vita version has the open world. We're reviewing the console versions. I don't think we're reviewing the handheld ones, but I'm going to probably pick up the Vita version today.
That's the first handheld Marvel game that's had the open world.
Yes, it's the only Lego game that's had an open world.
So far, all the Vita stuff has been just
it's like the old Star Wars
3DS
games.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, exactly. You've like kind of a very simple hub world, and you go in and play a level and come back. So I'm going to play this. I want to get this on Vita, play it up to the point of the open world, and I'm just going to run around and unlock characters. Like, I'll probably abandon the story at that point.
Have we seen a side-by-side of Lego Marvel Superheroes and Lego Avengers in terms of the open world?
It looks way better. Like, visually,
this game looks
very pretty.
How does the layout look? Like, is it similar?
I think it's much bigger.
I would say it at least feels significantly
like
bigger.
Like, Manhattan feels huge.
Really? And you come out and you have this radar with every mission you can accept, and it's, like, overwhelming. It's like,
the,
it looks like
the
there's a
controls?
Thousand things.
Really good, actually.
Really?
Flying as, like, Vision or War Machine or anyone feels
great.
Nice. You see Quicksilver and get around the city, like, insanely quick. The other really cool thing, honestly, is that we were playing, if you play the Iron Man 3 level and you get to the boss of it, it's, what's his name, Aldrich Killian, voiced by Greg Miller.
That's right, Beyond.
And you unlock a trophy called Beyond.
Yeah, if you unlock that character, and it was really weird to murder a man being voiced by Greg. I was like, I'm sorry, old friend. But yeah, there's a trophy. If you unlock Aldrich Killian and you die and respawn, the trophy is called Beyond.
That's awesome. Shout out to Greg Miller.
It's the name of this podcast.
Ryan Bowe says, Beyond, with the release of Lego Avengers this week, what franchise would you like the Lego games to try next? They've been pretty much everywhere. I'm trying to think what franchise, like, aside from something mature.
So they keep doing this thing where they kind of escalate. Like, they keep making stuff that's either open world. I felt like, was Jurassic Park open world, sort of? Did that have that hub world thing?
It had a hub world. It wasn't open world, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like...
It was kind of like Lego Star Wars, where it has the cantina kind of connect it all.
Yeah, I think that once you do the open world thing, people really want that, you know, if it's got that big overworld sense to it. And like,
I don't necessarily want that. Yeah. I mean, I love Jurassic World. I thought it was awesome the way it was just connected.
I'm
the opposite. Like, after playing Lego Batman 2, when they introduced that open world, I can't go back to the old ones. It drives me crazy. Like, I want the open world.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like I said, they keep kind of escalating. They keep adding more and more rosters of characters, and it sort of sucks. Like, I Lego Marvel Superheroes was one of my favorite games of the last couple of years. I had so much fun with that. I sunk like so much time into that. And I have like no interest in Lego Marvel Avengers because it feels like almost a step back, because they're like, oh, this is just from the cinematic universe. This is just from the...
Oh, but they pull character... Like, the story is just from the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get into the open world, like, I was doing stuff for Moon Knight.
No, their character roster is probably more diverse than ever.
It's huge.
It's comics and the MCU.
And it's like, Max, it's like real weird, deep cut characters.
You got the X-Men in there?
Like, Stanley's in a... There's Stanley in a mech suit in that game.
Yeah,
like,
you
weird
don't
stuff.
Have the X-Men, but you have like... 8 versions of every character that it's just Marvel owned characters basically.
Yeah, no, so. I mean I get that. I always like the X-Men. I like the cinematic stuff. The stuff that feels very like movie branded is kind of a turn off. And I really like the, I love the the superheroes version because it had like old 90s costumes and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, and it was like Sandman like, messing up
just,
New York.
Yeah, it just felt like toys. It felt like it didn't feel like it was tied to any big property. It felt like kind of, you know, the old sort of, you know, Golden Silver Age stuff.
I feel
but yeah, like having an open world and then trying to jump into something that's more sort of episodic, sort of compartmentalized kind of sucks.
I'm curious to see what the future of these sort of single property Lego games are with Lego Dimensions. Like, is that that take the place of all that? Because we just got the Doctor Who playset
and Ghostbusters.
And the Ghostbusters playset. Is the Ghostbusters one like a full blown like
Ghostbusters
it's a full series
mini campaign.
And that's what's so cool. You get if you buy one of those playsets, you get a world and essentially a little mini story mode plus a free play open world where you can do a bunch of stuff. And like that's kind of my answer to this question is like. So I wrote, when Brian and I saw this in your Comic-Con, I wrote a preview that was basically like, oh, this proves that standalone LEGO games are still worth it, even after Dimensions. Honestly, after actually having spent time with this, I almost disagree with myself now. Like, just to contradict that, I sort of just want them to keep building LEGO Dimensions stuff because this felt so bloated. Like, playing through the story as they insert, like, Captain America 1 stuff, I'm just like, that's what I don't want from these. Like,
that's really
keeping it just tight, and they trim the fat in LEGO Dimensions where you're just playing through, like, a very concise, well-made, funny, charming story, and then you have the open world if you want, or you switch to The Simpsons, or switch to something else.
I think they need to ape Disney Infinity in that sense, and either do like big, huge, here's your campaign entry, or here's your like bite-sized, kind of more small-scale thing. Like, Simpsons would be awesome. Full-scale, like, Springfield to explore with all the characters.
LEGO Dimensions has it. Yeah.
Is it? But is it full?
It's a full open Springfield.
Okay, well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. You definitely can't swap the characters, like... Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have the character part, but
I think we're going to see Ninja Turtles. That seems like a pretty safe.
Yeah, thing. And I mean, like I probably not LEGO Dimensions, but I can imagine them eventually doing like Game of Thrones or something where it's like this weird because there's such a deep roster of characters in such a big world. I can see that being.
They're never going to touch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I think it's too.
They don't LEGO doesn't do anything more
like
than
adult themed.
Nothing past PG-13.
I think you could do like it's funny because we were talking about this over the weekend. You could sort of like. It's so easy to picture a Walking Dead or Game of Thrones done like this.
Right.
I almost would love to see Traveler's Tales do something without the LEGO license, like do something more mature with kind of the same rough idea as this, like obviously not built of LEGOs, but like sort of that open world exploration stuff.
Would
and
it
sort
be
of
the same thing without the humor there? Could the humor still be there?
I think you could still do it as a charming...
God, it would be so fun, because like Game of Thrones is so humorless, it'd be so funny to take that and like actually give some levity to it.
Yeah, I mean, so is Walking Dead, right? There's like a brief moment, a season where there's like...
Well, there's a laughter and then a kid gets eaten.
Yeah.
But they did a good job with that in Lord of the Rings, I thought. Like, I think it's like a decent enough way to be like, oh, okay, like this is like introducing a little bit of weird...
Yeah, but that's such an
levity.
Inherently campier franchise. That's why my answer to this question would be Legend of Zelda.
Like, oh, God. Just a Nintendo thing?
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, because to me, it's one of those, like Nintendo's experimented with Zelda temples that are multiplayer, that are at least have, like, a multiplayer aspect to it. Like, even Wind Waker had, like, character swapping and stuff like that.
Or, like, Triforce Heroes that they just
totally.
Did, like, the co-op stuff.
Yeah, so, like, having a level, or having a basically a Hyrule Field hub world that led off to, like, different temples that had subsections where you could play as Link and Linkle and Princess Zelda and all these other characters and just... basically go through, do puzzles, fight bosses. Like, all that stuff is kind of already there in the LEGO universe.
God, I would love
and
that.
It'd be really laid back, you know? I think
I wonder if LEGO City Undercover, that Wii U exclusive game, if that would have done better if we would have seen more partnerships with Traveler's Tales and Nintendo.
I mean, that game would have done better if they had put it anywhere but Wii U exclusive.
Which that game's awesome.
It's the game's
so
awesome.
Fun.
And
it's probably the funniest of the games. Oh, it's original characters. Yeah. They don't have to worry about
it. I sunk. So I like the joke like back when this game came out was that I sunk more hours into that game than I did GTA 5.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to see. I don't know why that just died like on Wii U. I would love to see that game on PS4.
Yeah.
Like
I would pick that up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's so great. It's
LEGO LEGO Action Cops. Like that sounds like what I would play with my toys with.
And it's just like this. It's this awesome like mixtape of like 70s, 80s, and 90s like slapstick cop stuff, like just making fun of old like action movies and stuff. It's a really great game.
Max, would you play?
I think they did Portal for Dimensions. I feel like Half-Life and like a lot of Valve stuff could actually work really well for this.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess they did Portal.
They did Portal.
Yeah.
If you want to do something with zombies, Left 4 Dead would probably be a better thing than
Dead. Yeah, that's true. And there's enough like even aside from just the characters from both games, like there's enough to that universe.
I could almost see.
Now I'm really sad because I remember when Left 4 Dead, when they were releasing these like little comics to build out the world, and they just kind of dropped it. You know, it seemed like they were building up to Left 4 Dead 3. There actually is a pretty cool world, and you know, just whatever the series of events happened in that game.
Go back to in mine, and
it's
you're never gonna make other
it's
games.
It's been so long since Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, but we have Dota. Who needs other games?
Yeah. I mean, I think the big bummer about kind of speculating about what kind of stuff would work as a Lego game is knowing what Lego will and won't do and what they have the licenses for. Like, I'd love to say, like, yeah, Lego Transformers, Lego G.I. Joe, but that'll never happen because Creo is what has the rights to those because that's Hasbro and they're direct competitors too.
Yeah.
And Activision has a Transformers license and all that.
That being said, through Kuso, like, weirder things have happened. Like, that's their, if you guys haven't checked that out, that's their, like, sort of, like, crowd, not crowdfunding, but it's basically an idea funding website where people go in and they go, here's my pitch. Like, this guy
and
made,
that's
like,
how Minecraft happened and stuff.
That's how Minecraft happened. And how, if there's this Lego documentary on Netflix everybody should watch, it's really awesome, that talks about that whole aspect of it and how they had this, like, moon, what was it, like the moon rover or whatever the hell? And somebody crowdsourced that, and like the design philosophy was like, let's make this small enough and cheap enough that a bunch of people can buy it. But if you go to that site, it's spelled C-U-S-O-O. All these people are making all these
crazy
things. Actually,
it's called Lego Ideas now.
Is it Lego Ideas?
Yeah, Kuso is like now like a Korean crowdfunding site.
Oh, interesting. So yeah, go check that out.
Don't go to Kuso.
Yeah, don't go to that site. Or maybe do. I don't know.
Search for Lego Ideas.
Maybe there's cool stuff there. Yeah, search for Lego Ideas. Somebody made a Legend of Zelda set there. That's just
people
like,
have made dozens of Legend of Zelda
and
that, sets.
And the funny thing is like they can get the support and everything, but then they ultimately it's like, cool, like, we hear you loud and clear. We're going to the license holder, and then usually dies there.
What
then
sucks is Nintendo pisses me off so much with how they license things, because like Zelda and Mario would look so awesome as Lego, but they're like, nah, let's do Mario Kart Connects. Like, and it's just what ass is your head in right now?
Just backing up to license stuff though. Like, I mean, I don't know, man. Yes, Activision has the Transformers license, but stranger things have happened. Like, I'm amazed Disney, EA obviously have Star Wars, but like there's still, I guarantee you we'll see another Lego Star Wars game.
I
think like some people, obviously some brands are more generous with licensing than others, but I don't think it's impossible. I think Lego is, whoever they have doing their like biz dev and third party negotiations is very good.
I think
and
it helps that everyone loves Lego. Like,
exactly.
Everyone, nobody hates Lego. It's
exactly.
Like, except for people who step on it. Like it's a wonderful
thing.
And
now they have shoes for that. They made those cool Lego shoes.
I would really love to see, and I don't know if this will ever happen because Lego is kind of like, they really are tied to their in-house stuff like Chima and Bionicle or whatever, but I would love to see them revisit some stuff like some classic nostalgic properties, like their pirates, their knights, their spacemen. And
they had in the Lego movie, they have what's his name, Charlie Day played that spaceman.
Yeah. Like, no, it'd be so cool to have like, I don't know, like the M-tron and the Blacktron and Spireus and all these like vintage like Lego properties that they own the rights to that don't really have stories, and they always sort of try to put stories in there. Aquazone. I don't know.
Try to like connect all the vintage Lego worlds.
Yeah. I feel like with like the right writer, and if you just handle it super tongue in cheek, that could be really funny.
Yep.
Also, what about Lego Doug?
Wait, no,
Doug Funny.
Didn't they have Lego?
Max loves Doug.
Lego the Movie, the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Matt Jackson's Lego the Movie, the game.
That was all tied to the. I mean, that was
super low tier.
And Lego Dimensions did a better job with it because Lego Dimensions takes those. It's Gandalf Wild style, and like it takes them and does a better job with it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lego Movie game wasn't great.
Okay.
I was so pissed off about that. The whole like, I mean, obviously they're going to merchandise it, but the fact that the whole message of that movie was like, hey, why don't you screw around and have some fun with your Lego instead of trying to follow these instructions? They were like, here are the instructions to rebuild that crazy spaceship they imagined in that movie. Mm-hmm. It's like,
that wasn't the point of the movie.
Anyway,
sweet.
We got a hot email from a sensual young man by the name of Ryan Clements.
Oh, I know where that was coming.
That's familiar.
Yeah. This erotic gentleman wrote, "Dear Alana, Jared, Marty, and Max." Wrong, incorrect, but close enough. Beyond, longtime listener, first time writer. I enjoyed last week's episode and thoroughly embrace your continued tendency to go way off the rails. Keep at it. You heard it here first, folks. I must admit
that's
my
founding
heart...
father right there.
PlayStation approved and founder.
Blame him for that. I must admit that my heart fluttered at the mention of Neon Genesis Evangelion, which represents a defining chapter in my life of giant robots and the shooty lasers they use. Much to my chagrin, the conversation centered, as it often does, on Shinji.
Who sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. And you showed no mercy in your relentless assault. Yeah, because he sucks. We all get it. Shinji is not the stoic badass. Yes, he sucks. The enigmatic bounty hunter, the elusive spell slinger, he's a kid, but I've always felt pity for him, if not total empathy. Over the ire he draws from the Ava fandom. Shinji is an abandoned, self-conscious 14-year-old that's thrust into dangerous combat situations. I'm not sure how all you guys acted at 14, but I sure as hell couldn't hack it inside an Ava. And as a reminder, experiencing the Eva's mirrored pain demonstrated, blah, 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 blah. What's your question?
That's not a question.
Not a
this
question
is his statement.
Ryan Clements.
He was defending Shinji because we were all mean to him.
Yeah, I mean the whole point is I think that Evangelion is kind of just a big allegory for like adolescence in general, and that Shinji does suck because teenagers kind of suck.
I still maintain that Evangelion is the dumbest thing with the word lion in it.
What?
Yeah, all right. I mean,
you are insufferable.
I'm sorry. I like lions.
Also, I like that Ryan's email ended with, thank you for reading this very serious letter about a very serious topic.
Yeah.
I miss him.
I miss Ryan.
I miss Ryan, too. Let's get him back in the show soon.
You guys all seen Evangelion?
Nope.
A long time ago.
Evangelion?
I remember. I think it's got some sister kissers, and I think don't you pilot a thing from its
don't
wangus?
Look at me like I know.
No. Don't you go right?
No idea.
You go right in its wangus.
Probably go in its wangus.
No.
I thought the cockpit was in the wangus.
No, you're thinking of Zone of the Enders.
Oh, I'm thinking of Zone of the. I'm totally thinking of Zone of the Enders.
Yeah.
Do you kiss your sister in that one?
I don't. You probably could.
Okay.
You really? You try? It's Kojima. Try to kiss your sister in any video game.
Aren't there a bunch of people in Metal Gear kiss their sisters? Right?
Yeah, everyone's
in Star Wars too.
Brothers and sisters in Metal Gear and in robots. Ryan, thank you for... Ryan actually DM'd me on Twitter and was like, hey, what's the Beyond email? And I'm like, you used to be on this show. Like,
just, that's actually really funny.
Just want an excuse to say hi.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. Well, thank you for writing. If you have any
actual
questions...
It's like leaving a note in someone's locker.
If you guys want to have a nice discussion about Evangelion, you should send some questions to the Anime Club podcast. I don't know what their email is. It's probably on this one of these papers.
Yeah, anime@hotmail.org.
Yeah, something. Mm-hmm. Just go on the Neopets forums and start shouting and see what happens.
Or tweet at Ryan on Twitter @PwamSider and talk to him about Evangelion and anime.
And don't email yayanime@hotmail.org because that's probably a weird dude.
You might, yeah.
It's running. It has
somebody's
no affiliation with our show.
Sell you some bootleg garage kits of
malware or something.
Yeah.
That dude is a sitting malware.
Yeah. If you want to email
us. I almost
said
walking. I'm guessing he's not.
We are beyond@IGN.com. And now it's time for the question show, which is called Rapid Fire. We already used one of the questions, so we got to do different questions. Brian, take it away.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brian Altano
from
IGN.com. When I was a young boy, I wanted to be a dinosaur when I grew up. And then my dad told me that's impossible. So now I'm a man. Every week, I go on the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, and I ask you a question, which is ask me questions. And you give me questions, and I read them on the show. And that's a section called Rapid Fire.
I'm really excited for this first
please
one.
Stop. Kalei McPherson says, chocolate chip or oatmeal cookie? Andrew, which one do you like the best?
Hey, Brian.
Was that question just for Andrew?
Yeah.
No,
everyone can answer.
Here's the interesting thing.
Yes.
My favorite cookie is oatmeal chocolate chip. Because I don't like oatmeal raisin.
Oh, what is this? You get one or the other.
No, I mean chocolate chip.
No, this is like, you get three wishes. Oh, one more wishes.
No, but that's everyone puts raisins, stupid raisins, in their oatmeal cookies.
Well,
I have
a gun.
Oatmeal chocolate chip.
I'm pointing
chip
the gun to your head. There are two cookies on the
chocolate
table.
Chip.
Which
chocolate
you
chip.
There, thank you.
If you have some raisins at home, a good recipe is to put them in the trash.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're nature's candy, and nature is an idiot for calling it.
Yeah, nature's really I hate anything called nature's candy. Like,
it's usually just that one thing.
Yeah.
They usually outlaw most of nature's
apples
candies.
Nobody calls crab apples nature's candy.
Yeah, grapes.
No, they don't. They don't even call it nature's apples. That's apples.
But the crabs.
That's
the
what
crabs
fifth graders say when they're trying to poison children.
Ricky Nugent says, are any of you good at or like cooking? If so, what are you best at making? Does anyone cook at this table?
I've always considered myself to be something like cooking.
Yeah?
And then I'm an experiment that can go wrong.
I mean, I cook almost every night, but it's awful. Like, very
basic
stuff.
You totally
do not
cook almost every night.
What do you make?
You get wraps at the place next to the bar every night.
Well, that's true. When I'm home, I cook. If I'm home, I'm ordering food maybe one in 5 nights, and then the other nights I cook.
Chloe, do you cook at home?
Yeah.
That's absolutely
what do you like to make? You got any recipes for Ricky Nugent?
No.
No, you just. No,
what do you make? Do you make like pastas, primaveras?
Sure. Yeah, those are good.
You looking at me? You talking to her?
Do you ever make wraps? Andrew likes them.
No.
I do like wraps.
That's not really cooking, is it?
That's
like
my
sandwich.
My cooking thing is dropping like it's sautéing a bunch of ground meat and spinach or whatever. It's like the most basic possible thing.
And then what do you just eat out of a bowl like a sad dog?
Sauté ground beef and spinach.
Yeah.
So any trash you have, just throw.
Yeah, or like make an omelet or whatever. Like I do very simple cooking. Like I don't do any like recipe cooking.
So wrap is like a really passive aggressive sandwich. Like you don't want to actually like slap it down there. You're just kind of really like rolling it. Like you're trying to wake it up. You're like, hello, sandwich. Just form.
How do you make your wraps? You roll them like a big blunt.
Yeah, basically. That's how they make them. I don't know if you've ever seen one.
That's how you make a burrito. That's not how you make a wrap.
What do you make a wrap? What are you gonna do?
You take it and you put stuff inside, and then you fold one top over the other top, and then it's done. You don't roll it on the table like you're.
That's like some weird messed
bread in the 1800s.
What? No, I mean,
you get a loaf of Swisher Sweets.
No, that's a burrito.
The 1800s. Yeah.
Charlie Manny asks, what movie are you excited to see this
year?
Wait,
Brian, you cook a lot.
Yeah, I cook a lot.
Yeah, you cook 10 times more than anyone at the table.
I make a lot of sauces from scratch.
A nice sauce.
You can make a sauce very quickly using olive oil, red pepper, salt, and some can of tomatoes.
You can make a sauce really easy by mixing some objects with a liquid and put it on a stove.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, if you just some minor liquids and solids together, you'll make any sauce you want.
Yeah.
I mean, pizza from scratch, what you should do if you have no good pizza in your town, make your own pizza. It's very easy and it's delicious.
Town. You should move out.
Yeah, you should definitely. If you live in a place with no good pizza, get out.
Your town is actually a cavern and you should not live in there. It's very upsetting.
You're on Puzzle Island and you should leave.
I went through a big cooking phase when I was working from home. I was cooking all the time. It was really nice and I had a good time doing it. And now I work at a job at an office and I don't do it as much. And I go home and sometimes my fiance's cooked, but I miss it. It's fun. It's a good experiment.
I work that same job with you, and I go home and cook like a real man.
Okay, so, Brian, you can one-up me some more if you want.
Get it together.
Yeah.
Charlie Manny says, what movie are you excited to see this year, Max?
Wow, that was like weirdly passive-aggressive.
I'm excited for the film High Rise. I just read the book. It's based on a book by J.G. Ballard. Go check out this trailer. It's got I'm a big fan of William Gibson's books, and I know that he was sort of influenced by J.G. Ballard, and I had never read any of his stuff before. I saw the trailer for this movie. There's two of them out there. The second one has Tangerine Dream playing in the background. It's got Tom Hiddleston. It looks like a cross between Dread and American Psycho.
J.G. Ballard wrote the sexy car crash.
Yeah, your crash. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
What's it called?
Is Crash the movie about the racist car accident?
No, that's there's two different movies called Crash. Racist car.
One's racist car is one sexy car.
That was the David Lynch movie, right?
Yeah, no, David Cronenberg.
Okay. Yeah, I need to check that one out too. But basically, he's been compared to Palahniuk. Just finished the book. Real good book. Real curious about the movie. So
David Cronenberg do a Crash movie like on the J.G. Ballard book?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's one of his movies.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, you should see it.
I'm really excited about the Coen Brothers' new movie.
Hail Caesar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That comes out in like two or 3 weeks.
That's very soon.
Yeah, that looks like every Coen Brother movie like combined.
Holy crap.
It's like the ultimate. Like if Grand Budapest Hotel was like Wes Anderson's like ultimate Wes Anderson movie.
This is prime Coen.
Crap. Yeah. Yeah, I just finished watching both seasons of Fargo, and I've heard about Hail Caesar, but I haven't watched the trailer, so I'm going to go in totally cold and be surprised.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, The Witch.
Yeah,
yeah,
like a bunch of us are seeing that.
Yeah,
we have a big screening. It's supposed to be like this year's Babadook. Are you going to see that movie about the space boys who go on a cool mission?
Which one? Star Wars?
Rogue One?
Yeah. I was just saying to Max earlier, like, I'm really excited for this movie, but I'm also kind of like, oh man, we're doing this again, aren't we? This whole, like, here's the first set photos, here's the first leak, here's the first character. Like,
this one's so different because it's like, is there an opening crawl? Like, there's never been a Star Wars movie that's not an episode.
Am I crazy? That's coming out in like 5 months or something?
No,
it comes out.
It's December. Like end of the year.
December. Oh, yeah. Is it December? Okay.
Yeah. But we saw costume shots today. They revealed for the first time. I read a whole article about how like Darth Vader's all but confirmed for the movie.
Yeah.
There's new like pre-Stormtrooper armor that's basically like the Death Troopers in Battlefront. Like, it's weird. There's weird stuff in there. And that there's basically, like, they think that Alan Tudyk is mocapping a droid that's, like, this, like, one of the coolest droids they've ever done, which is going to be hard to top after BB-8. But I don't know. There's stuff to get excited about in there, and I think it's awesome that they're going to start telling weird side stories. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, all right, here we go. We're getting back on the Star Wars ride one more time, which I'm totally
kinda
for,
scared.
But
I don't know. It's going to be, the hype will hit me at some point.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for Thor Ragnarok, which I didn't think I would say, but I found out it's directed by the guy who did What We Do in the Shadows, which is a hilarious vampire movie.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, like, everything, like, I really don't like the first two Thor movies, but it's, like, little by little. So, like, there's rumors that Captain Marvel will be introduced in it. Mm-hmm. There's all this really cool stuff about, I mean, Hulk is confirmed for it, and there's all these really cool ways that he's going to introduce that are rumored. There's Cate Blanchett is supposed to play the villain in it. There's just lots of really cool rumors.
Did you hear the name of the sequel for What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh, it's called Wolves.
Werewolves.
Yeah, werewolves.
Civil War sounds amazing.
Yeah,
sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. I don't give a crap about Civil War. It looks super boring. But so did Winter Soldier.
I'm more excited for Civil War than Rogue One.
And then I was really excited. Yeah. I really enjoyed Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Speaking of comic book movies, Lazar Odick says, "Are you more excited about Batman v Superman or Suicide Squad?" Obviously, that's a big debate that's been going on around here.
Kinda
Suicide
neither.
Squad's not. It's not even close. Like, I like Suicide Squad better.
So
and I don't. I'm not really excited for either.
If I'm being perfectly honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the last Suicide Squad trailer, but I don't know. When I was like, oh, it's really good, and Mitch was like, did you just like it because of Bohemian Rhapsody? And I'm like,
possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's a good chance.
I'm not like super versed on a lot of these characters aside from the obvious ones, clearly, like Joker and Harley Quinn, but I went into Guardians of the Galaxy with that same mentality and walked out being like, that's one of my favorite comic book movies I've ever made. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping I get a similar scenario here, but that sort of anti-hero thing.
Is Batman v Superman, the Man of Steel
Yeah.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Yeah. Zack Snyder.
So I feel like when I look at Suicide Squad, it gives me a stomachache. It honestly looks so bad. I don't know. I feel like I'd have more fun watching Batman v Superman because it looks bad, but in a way that's like easy to make fun of. I guess like riff on with your friends.
I can
you
see
know?
That.
Like yeah. Suicide Squad just looks like it thinks it's really cool. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it does think it's really cool.
I can't deal with that. Like, I mean,
don't let it hear what we're saying.
Watch out, guys! It's edgy.
But the weird thing about Suicide Squad is it's being written and directed by David Ayer,
yeah,
who wrote Training Day.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's one of those things where I'm like, he wrote Training Day, and then never really did anything else good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those like, man, like, do you forever get to be just the dude who wrote Training Day because
dude,
that's
Training
such
Day,
a rad movie?
Training Day kicks so much ass.
Yes, but that's the whole thing. But like,
I also think that. Oh. The total gut instinct. I think that most recent trailer for Suicide Squad is completely misleading and nothing like the tone of the movie.
Yeah, like you can't put Bohemian Rhapsody in your trailer and then think that makes your movie look good.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like in watching the footage from Comic-Con, like I think that they realized it was too dour and they're making it fun. I'm sure there are one-liners. I'm sure there are jokes in it. I'm sure it's obviously a lot lighter than Batman
v
Superman.
I know who tells some jokes. The Jokester.
Oh, the Jokester.
The Jokester. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Like, I really like DC, and I loved the Nolan Batman movies, but it's like, I have no excitement for Batman v
they
Superman
they
coming
haven't
after
given
Man
us anything to go on. Like, the only thing that conceivably is part of the DC cinematic universe is Man of Steel, which people have mixed feelings about for the
and
most part.
Batman v Superman, they have shown so much.
They've shown so much, and they continue to show more. Did you see that thing that showed up?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're like, does this image reveal the new big... And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
There's too much to it, and they're doing too much too fast. Like, I mean... If the Justice League movie is announced and it's like 2 years after all of this stuff, and that's crazy to me because like we don't, I don't know. There's
no one cares
a lot
about
going
this
on.
Yet. Like, yeah, actually, like by the time the Avengers rolled around, we sort of cared about all these characters.
I think Deadpool looks better than both these movies, and I'm not even the biggest Deadpool guy. It just looks like the people making that movie had fun making it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like all of this is sort of that like.
Yeah, all the Deadpool advertising has been great, too.
Yeah, like they're just, everything about it just
and
seems
that's really
like,
what movies are about is the advertising. Yeah,
I mean, the marketing for that one's good, but I don't know. I'm in a weird boat with that movie, too. I think for everything other than the MCU right now, I really do have superhero movie fatigue. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to Civil War. Everything we hear about Thor Ragnarok sounds great. I obviously want Infinity War and all that stuff. But, like, man, there's almost no other superhero project that excites me right now other than maybe Legion that Noah Hawley's doing for TV.
Right.
He's doing for – that's the guy who did Fargo is doing an X-Men spinoff TV series.
I did not know that he was doing it.
Yep.
He's a showrunner.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Super excites me, but beyond that, I don't know.
All right.
Beyond. We have one more question. Dan O'Neill says, not really a question, but just once you should let Max explain Dragon Ball Z to you. So, Max, you have 1 minute.
Okay.
60 seconds. Tell me what the hell a Dragon Ball Z is starting now.
Okay. Dragon Ball Z, to see it as one standalone thing, is incorrect because really it is a continuation of Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball is the Chinese fairy tale Journey to the West, which is about a monkey boy who has a magic growing staff who lives in the woods. He befriends a genius inventor girl, and they go on a magical search for these balls. When collected all seven of them, a dragon appears, and you can grant a wish. So it's basically like this kind of Aladdin fairy tale type stuff. Dragon Ball Z... It reveals that this boy is, in fact, a space alien from outer space. And basically, he's had a son, and they do martial arts, and they become very, very strong.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like if I had to explain the entire story as one overarching thing, it would be like if Looney Tunes segued into the Marvel Universe. Like, you start out with this slapstick, goofy nonsense, kind of like taking familiar themes and exploring them. And then suddenly it's very serious, and people latch onto the really serious part, which is the Z part.
Okay. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah,
all
right.
That was very difficult for me to understand. Did anyone get that?
I stopped listening.
Well, my favorite part of the entire thing was like 25 seconds in, you're like, uh-huh. Like, got it so far. Keep
no, I actually had you at the beginning when you were talking about the monkey in the woods, and then there was the space baby, and I was like, I'm lost.
Yeah, you got to start at the beginning. That's really it.
Who's the vacuum character? The character that's a vacuum?
What?
Are you talking about Pokemon?
I just remember watching Dragon Ball as a kid on Toonami. That one character's got a vacuum. Frieza.
Oh, you're thinking of Luigi from Luigi's Mansion.
Frieza's
a
vacuum.
He's
know.
A vacuum?
What?
I don't think he's a vacuum.
He's a character that's got like a vacuum tail.
I believe you.
Oh, Cell. Yeah, Cell.
Oh, he uses his tail to suck people
out. I don't
up.
Know.
I'm very confused.
This is why I'm not an anime club.
Yeah. Is it done? Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
So the fight's over?
Well, basically, they're all doing martial arts and karate and kicking each other's asses all the time.
Uh-huh.
But because he got these magic balls, they're able to kill each other and then wish each other back to life. And of course, people from across the galaxy hear about these balls, and they're like, "You can wish for whatever you want. I'm going to go steal those." And then, so like, people.
So,
are always
so it's
to
like Heroes season 2, where one character steals powers, one character resurrects you, and one character can live forever, so no one ever actually dies, and then the show.
No, people die all
twice,
the time. They start
but they
making
come
up,
back.
They make up all these weird rules that dip into like, you know, Eastern mythology. And
but I mean, nobody ever dies for good. They always come back.
No, like sometimes people die for good.
Who died for good? Spoilers.
I think Goku
Vacuum Boy.
No, I don't know. They keep bringing him back. Some people die for good.
Really?
At one point, they fight Hitler, I think, or there's zombie Hitler.
Does it Hitler die for good?
Basically, they in this world
Hitler
I think
did die for good.
Hell is a place. Like hell is.
He didn't die for good. I mean, he died for evil. He was. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It's Dragon Ball is a weird thing. If you it's a
Beyond.
Really it's a wonderful comic series. If you start at the beginning and just read the whole thing, it's like.
How many issues is it?
It's like 42 volumes. But I mean, they're like, a lot of them are just like, you know, slapstick fights.
Dragon Ball's like finished?
Yeah, Dragon Ball start to finish is finished. Huh. Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah, there's Dragon Ball. Now you know. You learned. All right, so that's Podcast Beyond, the number one PlayStation podcast about Dragon Ball and movies we want to see. Sorry for getting off topic. It's Ryan Clement's fault. You can go on the computer and tell him he's Pwam Cider on Twitter, and you can tell him that Shinji Ikari is a big baby and she's getting the dang robot.
Well, you can tell him you miss him.
I lay in bed at night wishing I had a robot when I was 14. I would damn well pilot one.
It's a long tweet
you
wrote there.
Daddy issues. Anyway.
Tweet longer.
If you'd like to get in the robot, you can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity mm-hmm. with two G's and two T's. Goldfarb is Garfep. Chloe, what are you?
I'm just Chloe, Chloe, with an underscore before that, so underscore Chloe.
Cool. Whoa, you can nice. Start with an underscore?
Spell my name right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You start whatever you want.
That's bitchin'. And you have your witness review up?
Yes, my witness review is up. There's a video review. Don't watch it if you like want to go in completely blind, maybe. I don't show anything that the trailers don't show, but... I don't show anything that the trailer doesn't show.
Yeah, this is a game that the revelations are the meat and potatoes of it.
Cool.
So.
But even like you sitting me down and telling me stuff, I'm like, I still want to experience it for myself because I'm sure that moment of discovery is really interesting.
Yep.
I like it.
Go check that out.
Well, yeah, you gave it a pretty high score, so it seems like it's definitely worth looking into. Brian is Agent Bizzle on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to cook. He likes to tell everyone how much he cooks. He goes home with
his
Cold
number
Stone
one
Creamery
boy.
Pizza plate and makes a big sauce, putting some big olives in the bowl.
There's no Cold Stone Creamery pizza plate.
Sure there is.
Like an ice cream tray for your oven?
Yeah.
Who wants some hot ice cream fresh out of the
oven?
It's not
a very Cold Stone. It makes it too
hot.
Who
wants some milk circles? Big wet hot milk circles coming out of my oven. Come on down to Clown Town. Boop, boop, boop.
And that is our show for this week. Thank you for listening.
Beyond.
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 All right.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.